1st, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So please rise, and gentlemen, please remove your hats. Great to see so many smiling faces out there. We've got a couple of employee recognitions, but before we go through with that, if you guys have cell phones or whatever, you may want to take pictures, but please put them on silent or vibrate, and we'll go right into our agenda. We're going to handle the recognition of employees first, then we'll take requests and comments from citizens, as we don't have an administrative calendar today. Then we'll move forward to the approval of the consent calendar and then other items from the board. So first off, today we are going to have the board come down, but we're going to recognize Ryan Mulkins from the District Attorney's Office for 10 years, Janelle Bennett from Community Corrections for 30 years, and Lisa Pickard, who's not here today, for our veteran service, who's been here for 10 years. So we'll start with Mr. Mulkins. Come forward, and we'll come around. I think we've got a mobile mic. No? Not today. Well, we'll come over there anyway. We're supposed to come down here and shake your hand. You're going to have an opportunity to say a couple of words.
So I get the privilege of being the liaison for the DA's office, and more importantly, I've had the privilege of working with Ryan for the last 10 years. And Ryan, you have a wonderful reputation of caring for the kids of our community and taking on seriously some of the challenging cases. And you've continued to show leadership in your office and just with excellence. So thank you for your service to our community, and I hope that this is just the beginning of many zeros to come.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
To take this one as well, as I'm not the liaison for community corrections, but I'm kind of fond of them. Not often do I or any of us get the privilege of honoring someone who's had an impact so great in their life as today, me getting to honor you, Janelle. Janelle was on my hiring panel when I came to community corrections 11 years ago. When I was struggling through my probationary status, she took me under wing and said, "Come on, kid, we'll get you through." And I wouldn't be the person I am today if not for many times along the way, Janelle prodding me along to do better. 30 years is an amazing achievement. I think this last couple years, we maybe had to encourage you not to give up on us. But just recently, Janelle has also been named one of our lead POs at Community Corrections, and it's about time that the title fits the leadership that she presents in this office, of always picking up for others and filling in the gaps. So, Janelle, our certificate today says, County of Josephine, a certificate of appreciation to all to whom these present shall come. Greetings, know ye that. Wow, old English. Janelle Bennett with Community Corrections has been awarded this certificate in appreciation for meritorious service concerning matters of interest to Josephine County. Janelle has provided 30 years of dedication and Josephine County. We, the commissioners, have signed and honor you this first day of February with your 30-year pen and certificate. Thank you, Janelle.
So that's the highlights of our agenda here today. If those don't want to stick around for the exciting stuff to come, that just sounds fine. I did want to say a few words about Lisa Pickard and our Veterans Office. So Lisa works in a very small office downstairs in the courthouse. Veterans have been such a priority, I think, for this board and previous boards, and Lisa just is an extension of that to the highest degree. She is renowned throughout the entire state of Oregon as a veteran service officer who really leads from the heart and cares so passionately for the people who have served this country in the past that it just shows, and we're a really small portion of the state, and for Lisa to have statewide recognition for her service to those people in our community. We've got about 10,500 veterans, and she has, you know, just a really small office of just a couple of people down there. She utilizes volunteers, interns from the college, anybody she can get to help further that effort, and has brought a lot of resources to people's lives that are well deserved of those, and those are the numbers types of things, but how she does it, I think, is probably more of a testament to the person she is and the job she does. She just does it with such a heart for the people in this community. I had somebody who contacted me just last week about a veteran that had, you know, hit in some really tough times and needed some assistance, and the first person I thought about reaching out to was obviously Lisa. And it was probably 8:45 on a Saturday night that I got this information, and she responded right away to the inquiry and connected with those people, spent an hour on the phone with this guy's sister, and she just really willing to do anything and everything for the veterans, I think, in this community. So I just wanted to say a couple of words about what it's been like to work with her over the last 6 years. And so she's been here for 10, and we'll provide her with the appropriate recognition after this is over. So anything else? We're going to move on to item number 2, which is requesting comments from citizens. Please come forward and take your opportunity to address the board in public here. You'll get 3 minutes. Please state your name and general locale of address for the record. But be aware that if there's, you know, something you wanted to convey to the board, weren't able to be here today, you can always send us an email, make a phone call to the office, and that information is located on our agenda that's on the website. Feel free to just raise your hand and come on up. Yes, right here. You are not,
no.
But you are happy and welcome to talk today or come back a day when we've got the proclamation well in hand and read it. I'm really sorry. It looks like you've got a youth with you, and we're all queued up for today. Maybe this is a dry run. So, dress rehearsal? Okay.
You did well.
Yeah. Feel free to take some time if you want.
Sure. So I'm Chris Ann Albrecht, Executive Director of Women's Crisis Support Team. And our prevention program is we have a youth prevention program in the area high schools, and we've named it WINGS, and it's where students navigate growth and safety. And there's three different programs in our WINGS, and that's our freshman success at Grants Pass High School and North Valley High School. All freshmen are expected to attend our freshman success class, and they get 12 weeks of dedicated lessons about bullying and all kinds of things. Anyway, and with that, the hope is that their 4 years of high school will be successful, and that they will avoid the pitfalls of alcohol and drugs or missing school or early sex or any of those things. And so this is, we're in the second year at Grants Pass High School and the first year at North Valley High School, and it's really been successful. We've had a lot of positive. The next way to belong or to be a participate in our programs is through the gender-specific groups at Grants Pass High, Gladiola, and those are 18-week courses over the year where students get to explore all different life challenges and topics, and also try to learn to critical thinking and how to navigate life. And those are great classes. And out of that, then we have our youth action team. And our youth action team, students elect to be on that. And they provide awareness campaigns throughout the year for their peers, and they're peer-led. And so I'd like to introduce Caitlin Haskins, who is one of our youth action team members. And she's here to talk about Teen Dating Awareness Month, which... this is the first year ever that the county and the city council have, which you will in a week or so, acknowledge Teen Dating Awareness Month. So thank you.
Okay. Caitlin.
My name is Caitlin Haskin, and I am a member of the Women's Crisis Support Team Youth Action Team. It is an honor to accept this proclamation. Thank you for your recognition of the importance of the awareness and prevention of teen dating violence. Having the support from our county is an important part of ending teen dating violence in our community. Unfortunately, statistics are not recorded as in-depth for teen dating violence as they are for domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. What we do know is that 1 in 3 adolescents in the U.S. is a victim of physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner. 1 in 10 high school students has been purposefully hit, slapped, or physically hurt by their dating partner. Violent behavior typically starts between the ages of 12 and 18, and the severity of intimate partner violence is often greater in cases where the pattern of abuse was established in adolescence. The closer the relationship, the less likely the victim is to make a report. Abusers need to be held accountable because they are the only one responsible for their actions. Victims of teen dating violence are at higher risk for substance abuse, eating disorders, risky sexual behavior, and further domestic violence. 50% of youth who have been victims of both dating violence and rape attempt suicide, compared to 18% of non-abused youth. Only 1 in 3 teens who were in a violent relationship ever told anyone about the abuse. As a community, it is important that we stand with survivors of violence, speak in ways that promote justice and equality, and act to create safer, healthier, and more educated communities. We need to send a message to survivors that they are not alone, and we will not stand by and allow teen dating violence to happen in our community. Thank you to the County Commissioners for proclaiming February as Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. I hope to be able to continue working together as a community to hold abusers accountable and put an end to teen dating violence in our community.
Thank you.
And then I have some shirts. May I give them to you?
Sure.
These are for Overdue for Orange. Okay. So Youth Action Team has created a campaign at Grants Pass High School this year that we are overdue for orange because orange is the national color for teen dating violence. So we're going to be at the boys' varsity basketball game February 17th at 6:45 p.m. and you're welcome to come.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll do. Thank you, Ms. Haskin. Sorry about the confusion on that. We'll get that figured out. But appreciate you coming today and speaking to this important issue. Anyone else wish to speak? Mr. Ford? Mr. Sullivan?
Morning, Commissioner. Short meeting today. I guess you haven't recovered from Monday yet. Larry Ford, and I was looking through some paperwork, and I came across Jack Swift's name. And I remember how he used to say he lives 11 miles downstream from Grants Pass, and so do I. Couple of things, and one of them just kind of popped up this morning listening to the radio coming in. It's amazing that the people that are Republicans and conservatives always get a bad name for being, you know, like rednecks, uncouth. And it's amazing that since we have a new president, it seems like the shoe's on their foot with the liberals and the Democrats, all the stuff they're doing now to oppose our new president. It's just kind of eye-opening. The main reason I'm here today is I am on the Josephine Saltwater Conservation District Board. We are going to hold a workshop the 24th and 25th of February at Pacifica. Its main goal is going to be directed toward the cannabis industry for help, clean water, good soils, being good stewards of the a new farming practice in here. And if any of you guys would like to attend, I know Friday's kind of a hard day, but we have Kathy Smith and Beth. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name because I'm not too good at it, but she's from ODA. They will be there on Friday morning, and we'll have some speakers Friday afternoon and Saturday on some of the soil sciences. So if you guys are interested or if you know anyone, contact us about Soil and Water District, and tickets can be $25 for the two-day event. And since it's at Pacifica, we'll probably have a caterer out there that you can buy food from, because it's a little hard to run back to Grants Pass in an hour. But it is a great location. If you haven't been out there, it's a really nice place. Thank you.
Mr. Ford, are you going to partnership at all with the OSU Extension? I know that they've got a couple of services, people that are experts that might be helpful in that.
Out in the Williams area?
No, I mean in Josephine County in general. The OSU Extension office has some people on staff that might be helpful for that as well.
We haven't contacted anybody up there. We're going to be a six-hour event both days.
Full
and it's pretty full.
Agenda already? Okay.
But, you know, if
think
going,
about them.
Going forward, if we do more, that would be a great idea. I
would think so. They're a natural fit for that.
Yes.
So, great.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Seligman.
Good morning, Commissioners. I came here through the fog. Well, I won't talk national politics, I promise. Yes. That could go on for more than 5 minutes. Anyway, Jack Swift's name was mentioned. Well, may he rest in peace. Jack Swift was the lead petitioner, this is what I was reminded of, in the nuisance code ordinances that lost 80 to 20. Now, regarding the cannabis thing, and of course it was said it's far more than that, it's property rights and things very similar to what the voters voted down 80 to 20. So I urge the county commissioners that any reference to code enforcement official, administrator, any hearings officer, anything smelling of that, the public would not be in favorable of. Now, I wanted to check a fact out, because when I ask someone to tell the truth, like I did Commissioner Hare, I want to make sure I can back that up. I had a little phone call with Commissioner Heck, ex-Commissioner Heck, and I said, did you endorse these town hall meetings, four of them, that I believe some of you went to, but Commissioner Hare didn't? And he said, I thought they were important. And he showed up, and he was at almost all of them. And these town hall meetings had over 300 people. So if you take 300 people, and what their prevailing opinion was, minimal restrictions, because you guys were there, you have to take that into account when you make your decisions, as well as the 70 people that signed petitions. Again, this is far more than just property rights. This has to do with other things as well. Now, Commissioner Hare, I see you didn't feel it was important to go to these meetings for whatever reason it was, but it was important, because if you want to know how the people feel, you should have been there, but you weren't, and you've seen how they are here, so that should give you some example when you do restrictions of any variety. And that's the big question. You have three agencies right now. You have county courts, DEQ, and Fish and Game, that certainly will take care of whatever problems, at least they should, whatever problems that there could come up. Now, I'm detecting a much more enlightened attitude with Commissioner Morgan compared to the city council, where grows were banned in your administration with Council DeYoung at the time, and a ban on dispensaries. I get a little shift here in the attitude now that you're a county commissioner. I must remind Commissioner DeYoung that he said, give me 11 square miles and do what you want in the county. Well, now you're in the county, so I think you should stick to that. Again, we want to work with you. We want minimal restrictions, and I'll keep in mind, 10 seconds.
No, Mr.
There
Solomon.
Is injunctions, and there are referendums that can happen that will cost the county $30,000, and nobody wants that. Thank you.
Anyone else for 3 minutes? Yes. Sorry, Mark, I assume you're still Mark Seligman and Selma. Yeah, okay. You did. Next time.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jay Meredith, resident of Josephine County. So I've only got 3 minutes, so I'll jump right in and say what I need to say, because I think I have a lot to say. So according to what I heard on the radio, you know, commissioners, you're diving into looking at how do we fund public safety in coming years. Of course, that's an important discussion, something that you do need to start talking about right away, so I'm very glad you are. And I've also heard the sheriff make a couple of public statements recently about how he wants to consider a jail district, and there are plenty of options in front of us that that need some vetting, and we need to take some time to do that. I made a proposal to the commissioners about a little over a year ago, and that proposal wasn't how do we solve this problem. That proposal was, we need to get together, we need to form a committee or a task force of some kind, take our time and do this right. We need to collect input from the governing bodies of all the local governments and public agencies in the county. We need to get input from everybody from the fire districts basically all the groups that are out there that have a say in this. And every group out there does have a say in this, because obviously public safety affects everybody. We need to get to business groups, individuals. We need to take our time and do this right. And I didn't hear back from the commissioners, and maybe the commissioners at the time last year knew that there was going to be a political action committee coming forward and doing another levy effort. But we need to take our time and do this right. There needs to be collaboration with the city, both cities. There needs to be a lot of collaboration out in the Illinois Valley area. There needs to be a pretty big effort to solve this challenge. And the only way to do that is to take our time and collect input, collect proposals from citizens, and there are many things we can do. And I would like to bring that proposal back before the new board, now that there's been a change in leadership. And ultimately, what I'm trying to say is there are a lot of things we can do to get over this problem, and And I personally think that there's going to be a series of solutions that gets us there. It's not going to be any one thing. It's just natural resources need to be part of the solution. Probably a smaller tax measure needs to be part of the solution. You can go on down the list. There are a lot of things we can do, but the only way we can get there is if we take our time and do this right. And so I would highly encourage the commissioners to form a committee or task force. And I've got some ideas on how you can do that if you want to schedule a workshop or something to talk about that. I've got a team of people that can help with this. And I think there needs to be a committee formed representative of a broad group of stakeholders here in our county. Business, individuals, local government board members, and on down the list. And so please, whatever you do, take your time and do this right, and don't rush into another levy effort. Thank you.
Anyone else for 3 minutes? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for comments.
I do want to, they left, but I appreciate that we have so many youth that are concerned about just important things in our community. We've heard in the last month prevention for alcohol, drug, awareness, violence against teens today. And I appreciate that it's something that is being taken on while there's still a chance to change future behavior. And so I'm grateful for that. So thank you if you could pass on our thanks. And like we said, we try to bring that back to acknowledge the actual proclamation. But it is exciting to see our youth taking on these things. Mr. Ford, you said it was the 24th and 25th at Pacifica? Okay, I didn't get the dates on that one. I guess for Mr. Meredith, I agree that a county safety task force is something that is appropriate. We've talked about wanting to get more feedback. We, as a commission, have been talking about various options to be looking at. We, as a county, are participating in litigation to try to go after our rights with natural resources and such, but Commissioner Hare can speak more on where the status of those are. But we've also talked about potentially forming a forest trust off of our county forest lands and committing that to our juvenile services and such. So there's some things that we're doing that aren't just looking at tax. And so there are more minds out there that can help us with that. And I do like the idea of having a vetting process and all that. I also know that we're hearing daily from different communities to say, help us now. What are you doing now? So, but what's the old construction saying? Measure twice, cut once. It's like you want to make sure you get it right the first time. And so I appreciate that advice. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I was a member of CUFS a couple years ago when they put a ballot measure out, to get to try to fund public safety at $1.40. And we had people from faith-based community. It's quite a broad section of people involved in the formation of that and the language and so on and so forth. We thought we touched all the bases by declaring where the money was going to go. Had a oversight committee. The sheriff had a set group of what it was going to pay for, and I thought that was sufficient, but it wasn't, because it went away just like everything else. Jay, I know you've been involved with SOS for a long, long time and done, you guys got countless hours of trying to figure this thing out. My issue right now is a timeline. I would like to see a timeline of, for instance, if you put forth a ballot measure in November, when does the revenues come back in? We're on a timeline here. The old clock is ticking on this side of the pond. And so I'm interested in, I really don't want it to get mired down like economic development where we continue to talk about it and nothing really comes of it. I would really like to see some concrete return on investment. When can those revenue dollars get steered toward Josephine County, and when would that all take effect? Because we're up against it right now. I think we're looking at triage now rather than the long-range cure, because we've got to bridge the gap between, and I would like to know how long that bridge is. So that's where my concern is, because we're underneath the timeline here. The clock is ticking. Then, you know, there's legal constraints as to how soon you need to be, you know, for put stuff on the ballot measure and when and so on and so forth. But then there's also on the backside of that is, okay, you do something. When does the revenue actually enter the general fund or wherever it's going to go? So I'd like to know timelines on that, and I think that needs to be a part of the conversation when you're getting this group together and somebody comes up with an idea. You know, for instance, I know Commissioner Harris is working on the ONC thing and lawsuits and so on and so forth. I'd like to know an approximate timeline, and is that immediate? So if ONC wins the lawsuit, you know, do we get a check the next day, or do we get a check 5 years from now when Congress approves it, so we know what kind of bridge we need to build to get this thing so we have continuity in our criminal justice system? So that's just something you might, you know, in your consideration on a task force, sounding board, whatever you want to call it. I'd be real interested in making sure we have a timeline in there.
I would echo what's been said so far. I did receive your proposal, Jay, Mr. Meredith, and I thought it had a lot of merit. I also don't think that it's something that just exists in a vacuum. So Commissioner DeYoung had mentioned the 360 or CUFS group, and then I thought that was the charter of SOS. And frankly, what I have seen from their weekly reports or what have you is that was their intent, is to bring the community together in a way that really hadn't been done. There have been, I think I've got two folders on my bookshelf in my office of blue ribbon task forces that, you know, were a decade ago that had been constructed to try to address this issue. I think that conversation is going to be ongoing. You'd also mention the fact that there's going to be a portfolio of potential solutions. There is no silver bullet. Everybody agrees with that. It won't be the forest management component that's going to return revenues the way they used to be that the county needs. Commissioner DeYoung is absolutely right. The timeline is moving up as our reserves are pretty much extinguished to the degree that they're not going to solve all the problem indefinitely. And the other one reality is that we're on shared receipts now for the first time since 94. The reality of not having a secure rural schools extension is there, and we know what we have to live within our means. We could discuss this for quite some time, and other counties actually have the luxury to keep doing that. Douglas County's got reserves that they could go for a couple of years at their current level, funding it on their reserves, but we don't have that. And I'm not so sure that's a bad thing. We're going to be able to decide where we want to be before they have that, you know, need to address that issue at such urgency. So I don't disagree that there's merit to that, but I kind of also believe that discussion, looking at the different options, has been going on for quite some time. Whether the county charters that organization or it's organically been developed throughout the community in several fashions. We've also been engaging with the community for the last 6 years in 6 non-binding questions about the whole portfolio of stuff. Is the current level of public safety system serving your needs? 75% said in 2013 no. Or would you be in favor of federal forest management to generate a revenue stream to pay for county services? Almost 80% said absolutely. That seems like a reasonable way to generate revenue. All of the levy questions that have been proposed to the voters, I think, are an absolute engagement with, would you be interested in serving, paying more taxes to provide for the original one that the previous board proposed, had 7 different elements and was at $1.40-something. When I first came on, we did $1.98. That went down in flames. The one that the previous board proposed was within a couple of percentage points to being something that the citizens champion. Since then, the voters have had an opportunity to weigh in on 2 measures that the people have referred, 3 actually. There was the animal control one, and they said yes to that. So I think there's been a lot of community engagement and conversation. It may not be structured exactly the way you're proposing, and long term, I think that it would be ideal. But I don't know that we necessarily come to a different conclusion about what the options are for referring from this body to the voters, as far as the revenue opportunity that we have is historically been. A couple of different ways. We've got grants either at the state or federal level. We've got the shared receipts or SRS, or we've got property taxes, and that's really the portfolio of major options. The other one is that we cut, And since I've been in office, we've cut $40 million. There was one day I was the chair and laid off. It was the worst day I've been in office. 127 people, and a lot of them I knew, grew up with, lost their jobs, and not all in the public safety system. So, you know, it's not like we're just getting to this position, you know, yesterday. We've been coming to it for a decade or more. And so I think a lot of work has been done. It doesn't mean that we're going to stop listening tomorrow or ever, really, on this issue, because even at a proposal of under a dollar, that doesn't solve our problem. That gets us to a new baseline, in my opinion, of minimally adequate services. So I think we've got a lot of time to have the discussion long term, but then there's also some elements that are coming down the pike very, very soon that are going to be decision points, and we're going to have to take those for good or bad. They may not be the best, all the information and deliver the way we would ideally like, but the players have changed, the opinions have changed, times have changed. I think the marijuana industry has changed, and having that shake out to where we know some of the revenues for pretty certain. Our office has just done some financial reviews and said we're expecting, you know, not a whole lot of money. You know, it's right around 100 grand, 150 grand, and I think that could be over two bienniums, which really means $50,000 to $75,000 worth of revenue a year. That doesn't solve a $4 to $8 million challenge. So I think there's been some solidarity on that. Commissioner DeYoung.
Yeah, I had a conversation yesterday, and I think, you know, Jay, if you're going to get a task force together, I think there are a couple of representatives from the cannabis industry would be very, very helpful. I had a conversation with him, and I said, so we're done. He was in on another, on a public works issue that he had. And I said, okay, we'll shut the mic off, and I need to ask you, because you're in the industry, and I've never been in the industry. So I've heard it over and over and over and over and over again how the marijuana industry is going to cure our public safety and our schools problem. But yet when you go to revenue streams, where did that come from? And I ask him, what do you have to pay? And his particular instance, he paid a state fee of $6,750 for his recreational grow a year ago. And he says, so you'll get some of that. And I said, no, that went to the state. And then all of his fees, and when he pays taxes, he says, well, I pay income tax, too. And I said, who do you write the check out to? The state. And he said, well, the state will give that back, won't they? I said, no, they don't. They distribute it however they want to distribute it. He says, well, I buy stuff at fields, excuse me, at local stores. That increases their tax burden, and they pay. And I said, and it all goes to some other entity. I want to know a check that you wrote out to Josephine County that aided our, that was a revenue stream. You've sent all these strings out. I don't want to know which one of them comes back to Josephine County. And I'm not talking property tax, because you're going to get a break on that because you're ag. But even the property tax, I want to know what strings come back to Josephine County to help us with schools and public safety. And he couldn't answer that. I says, I need an answer, because, you know, you've got this idea that you are paying, I'm not questioning that you are paying a lot of money. I get that. Your perception is that it all goes to government, so therefore a big section of the pie comes back to Josephine County automatically, and that doesn't happen, as we all know. And, you know, when he left, he went, you know what, nobody's ever posted that question to me. And I would post it to everybody that steps up to that mic and says, we're going to take care of your schools, we are the next timber industry, we are. When in reality, that isn't how it works. These strings are fired out from the cannabis industry to all kinds of taxing entities, and all these fees that you pay. So, well, if you had more dispensaries, you're going to get more. And I said, you know, we have dispensaries. We have had for a long time, and our share was, I think Commissioner Harris said, it was under $100,000 or just over $100,000, but that may be on the biennium, so it puts it under $100,000. I'm talking 4-point-something million or 5-point-something million or 7 million so that we can actually, I said, you don't know that Sheriff Daniels, and I said, you just watch him. You were out in the lobby with him. He wears a bulletproof vest and a gun to protect you so that he can come when you call. Right now, he would love to send the army out there when you have an issue in the middle of the night with your grow. Can't do it because why? He's not funded. He would love to do that, but he can't do it. Then he says, my gosh, I never even looked at it from that standpoint. He was a very nice young man. And I said, okay, we're going to just leave it at that. But you have some homework to do. I want you to go to your to the growers and find out, how did you intend to pay for what you think you want in the end, which, you know, actually, I think the greater share of the growers would like to have a little police protection out there, to be quite honest
with you. I've heard.
You know, when they pick, when they call the phone, and maybe they call each other, I don't know, at the present rate. But I thought those were all very, you know, very good questions for the young man. And I think everybody needs to think of it that way. Everybody thinks that Josephine County is gathering all this money, but very little of it stays here. So that might be something you want to throw in with it. And I'd be interested in, I don't know if you do, we have his proposal in on file?
We do.
Okay, if we could get a copy of that, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the intent of Mr. Meredith's proposal is really bringing the community together, that we solve this problem together. Josephine County is really unique in the sense that we're pretty divided on a lot of different issues. We are that kind of melting pot of the extremes of positions, and the, you know, the cannabis industry. It's pretty popular here, but it's also not very popular here. You get the whole spectrum, and that no marijuana piece of legislation has ever passed other than the 3% tax in Josephine County. No statewide initiative as far as legalization or anything. The last one, Measure 91, failed by 2 votes here in Josephine County. Closest measure I've ever seen, you know. So we're really divided on things. I don't know that you're ever going to have everybody coming around. I think you said at the hearing on Monday, nobody's going to walk out of here with everything they wanted. But I think somewhere in the middle, and that's honestly what I feel this board did a really good job of on Monday, is trying to just listen to people and not going into it with an understanding that we're going to be able to solve everybody's problems with the stroke of a pen or an ordinance. Listening to people goes a long way, I think.
I just kind of follow up on that. There is a huge coalition out here in Josephine County that says no new taxes. I mean, everything. I don't care what it is. It's no new taxes. I think I'd rather rephrase that if you really sat down and talked to the people and say, not this tax, or what would be acceptable? You know, they go, no new taxes and blanket the whole thing. But you know what? Taxes are, you know, part of America. Taxes and dying are the two things that you can count on in this world. And I would rather start changing that rhetoric to not this tax. If it's something that most of the people don't want on that particular tax, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say all taxation is bad. Because I think there's something out there that the majority of the people who swing that needle over to the yes vote, and it may be the amount of the tax, it may be some of the, you know, where the tax is placed. I don't know. But I think I would rather, you may even on your, in, if you get your task force going, have the no new tax people set in there. Say, what is it? What is it you really don't want? Is you don't like giving money to Josephine County, and why? Do you don't like giving money to the state, and why? And what can we do to fix those problems that you have? So I don't, you know, so that I'm not asking, because I don't think you're ever going to get the no new tax people to swing entirely away. I just want them to kick it out of forward and kick it into neutral. So they say, yeah, I can't get behind that, but I certainly won't campaign against it. That's where I want to go, because you're never going to get him to swing all the way over. You're not going to get me to swing over, you know, on certain issues in life in general that, you know, that come up and say, well, I'm not, you know, there is no such thing as a half abortion. You're either doing it or you're not. So I think, you know, like I said, I want to just see that everybody's at the table, and you're inclusive, and you put everybody at the table. I think the no new tax people need to be have a place at that table, too, so you can hear what they say and maybe address their issues so that they don't get out here and march up and down in front of the courthouse with a no new taxes sign. You know, maybe not this tax. And if it's not this tax, what is acceptable, and what do you think would be acceptable? Thank you.
We're going to move on to the consent calendar item 3A, which is various minutes of the Board of Commissioners in our public sessions. And then item B is contract between Josephine County and GE Forestry Incorporated to provide tree seedling planting services for 2017. We've got the proposed contract in our file right here that was made available, I think, last Friday for review by the public. We have most of these items that we've gone over, or we'll go over, we reviewed at our admin meeting on Thursday the previous week. And so this pretty extensive contract, it's about $64,000 to do reforestation on 8 different units, scattered variously throughout the community, throughout the county. We manage a forest lands of about 30,000 acres, and you may remember about 2 years ago we did a forest inventory. We really didn't know the portfolio of what our holdings had in inventory and stocking, and we know a better idea of that now. And so we've been managing accordingly, and we'll continue to do so with a new director, Mr. Streeter, in that position. He's doing a fine job. Mr. Kearns is in charge of our forest reforestation program, and I encourage the board to endorse this and move it forward. Item number 3C is resolution 2000. Were there any questions on 3B?
No.
No, 2C is just a vacation of property on a vacation of Dog Creek Road, a section of Dog Creek Road. And basically, the Dog Creek Road feeds no other adjacent properties. It only feeds the one property that we want to vacate it on. Pretty vacation would serve to privatize a portion of an obsolete public right-of-way established in 1991 as a public right-of-way. The portion of Dog Creek Road to be vacated consists of a little over 4,000 feet of dirt, unimproved, any abutting properties. It provides no public connectivity, nor does it provide access to any abutting properties except for the loan petitioner. So it's kind of we're just going to cut off the road and turn it into private property.
No further questions. I'll entertain a motion on the consent calendar, items 3A, B, and C.
I'll make a motion that the consent calendar be approved, items A, B, and C.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Any other items that should properly come before the board at this time? We have matters from commissioners. Commissioner DeYoung?
No.
Commissioner Morgan?
Well, I do. I'm going to tell myself I wrote a note to ask Commissioner Hare a question a moment ago, but I'm going to make sure that it's public so everybody has it. Do we recognize students sitting in for class? So I remember at one when I was on City Council, we'd have students come in from local government classes, and they'd have to put in their hours time to hear a meeting. And I see a couple young men in the back. I assume you're here for a class, but I was wondering if that was the case. So for twofold, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to be here. And if you have any questions, feel free to come up and talk to us afterwards. And the other fold was just to make sure that I was public with a note that I wrote, so there was no private.
Commissioner, I received, in fact, I had a conversation with a veteran last week about the flag out at, is that Granite Hill Park?
Mm-hmm.
Granite Hill Cemetery on Upper River Road. That it's getting rather weathered and the lights burn out and stuff like that. That is Josephine County's responsibility, so we'll be getting on that. It just, you know, we flag looked bad, and we're going to get a new flag up there.
Going to be working on the same thing for the Cave Junction County building. I know we just replaced the flag at the library, and we do that twice a year at the flag in front of the courthouse when we do the service officer recognition. Fallen service officer recognition. Nothing else before the board?
That's it.
We are adjourned at 10:48. Have a good rest of your day.
9:48.
9:48.
9:48. Whoa.